Hello and welcome to H2Omics, the Calzones podcast that gives you insight into the smart irrigation and sustainability world. I'm Carolina Alban Stoughton. In 2021, Congress passed the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, known as the Bipartisan Infrastructure Deal, which included $55 billion to expand access to clean drinking water and funds for investments to tackle the climate crisis, including the drought. This bill was followed by last year's signing of the Inflation Reduction Act, which also aims to address our current environmental challenges by allocating $369 billion to energy security, climate solutions, and environmental justice. To discuss these two important pieces of legislation, our guest today is U.S. Congressman Mike Levin. Congressman Levin represents the 49th District in California, which includes North County San Diego and South Orange County. A former environmental attorney, Congressman Levin helps to ensure sustainability is a top priority in Congress. Congressman Levin, welcome to H2Omics, and thank you so much for taking the time to be on our podcast.
Thank you for having me, Carolina. It's great to be with you.
So let's talk about these bills. While these two bills help to address the climate crisis, let's start talking about the bipartisan infrastructure deal. With $55 billion specifically to address water infrastructure, the EPA is calling it the single largest investment in water ever made by the federal government. How is this going to directly benefit our communities?
Well, Carolina, this is absolutely huge. It really was a major effort in the last Congress, the 117th Congress, to pass both the biggest investment in our nation's infrastructure in really 70 years. We're talking since the Eisenhower administration and the creation of the National Highway System. And then on top of that, the Inflation Reduction Act, which is just a massive win for our climate, our environment, and our economy as well. And I think everybody in your audience knows, particularly if they're in California or the Western United States, that we're facing a water crisis, really unprecedented in my lifetime anyway, as we've got droughts and wildfires that are more frequent and severe. And then, of course, you know, most recently we've had these atmospheric river conditions. But the key is the extreme weather will continue to increase based on all of the climatologists' projections. So at the same time, we have a need of infrastructure for our water. The water infrastructure in California is really aging, and we need repairs. We need upgrades. We've got to make sure we dramatically modernize our water systems to be more resilient, but also to ensure safety as well. So there's a $55 billion investment, as you mentioned. That's a big, big deal. And I think it's going to go directly to communities all across California and throughout the United States to really help meeting the needs of communities, whether it's with water delivery, water shortages, or other important water infrastructure goals. Just in April, this month, EPA announced almost $400 million, $391 million through the bipartisan infrastructure law. Just for California, through something called the Drinking Water State Revolving Fund. That is such important money that will support communities to upgrade their water, their wastewater, their stormwater, to protect public health, and also to protect our treasured sources of water. About half of the funding will be available as grants or as loans to forgive principal. Particularly emphasizing the underserved communities to help them invest in not only in better infrastructure, but in good paying jobs as well. Prior to that announcement, there was more than $647 million in additional funding that had been announced to California for many of the same purposes, but specifically for things like replacing lead pipes, replacing old service lines. That funding went all throughout our region. I represent North County, San Diego, and South Orange County, as you said. And there were a couple projects in particular that I'm proud of. One in Oceanside, California, the Pure Water Program. Also, North San Diego Water Reuse Coalition Regional Recycled Water Program and the San Juan Watershed Program. So all these are huge investments. And I'm so excited about the money for things like water recycling, the things for projects like desalination that can be done in an environmentally responsible way. The reality, Carolina, is we've got to do it all. We've got to conserve. We've got to have a more resilient supply. So we need recycling. We need a lot more innovation, things like desal. And we just can't keep importing water all the time and expecting a different outcome as more extreme weather hits.
Exactly. It's very important that you mentioned extreme weather because California has gotten a lot of rain this winter. But you also mentioned conservation. Now we have it. How can we conserve it? Make sure that we have it long term.
Well, the key here is that even though we had something like 31 atmospheric river events in recent months, which was really extraordinary, and even though we're hearing the discussions about El Nino bringing summer weather as well, we're not out of the woods with regard to drought. Whenever I speak to scientists, and I'm very grateful to get to represent some of the best climate scientists in the world up and down my district, places like the Scripps Institute of Oceanography. And it's very clear that the $4 billion for the Bureau of Reclamation for drought relief, it's absolutely essential. The Inflation Reduction Act, single largest investment, as I mentioned, in climate action in our history, and recognize the important role that water plays in all of this. And look, I think the new normal is what we have to focus on. And we have to make sure we figure out this Colorado River situation as best we can. As a Californian and as an environmental attorney, I'll continue to advocate for the superiority of California's water rights, which that is the law as it stands. But we also have to be mindful and acknowledge the importance of working together in a regional fashion as we address the new normal of the Colorado River and of the climate crisis. A couple other things I'll mention in the IRA. There's $550 million for domestic water programs in disadvantaged communities. There's $12.5 million for emergency drought funding for our nation's Native American communities as well. So it's exciting that we have this federal investment. We've got to make sure that we are now in the implementation phase in this new calendar year 2023. We do everything we can to make sure that those IRA funds get to the communities they need, including here in our region.
Exactly. The Inflation Reduction Act, as you pointed out, is definitely another way in which the federal government is recognizing this urgency of addressing the climate crisis. So you did mention the $4 billion, and I want to go back to that. So there's $4 billion allocated for drought relief efforts. The Irrigation Association, which is the organization that represents irrigation across the United States, sent a letter to the U.S. Department of Interior and the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation to emphasize the importance of water use efficiency and the prompt implementation of the Inflation Reduction Act to fight Western drought. In fact, they also had at DC fly-in where they met with legislators to bring this urgency up front in Washington. This is an urgent call to action. How quickly could we start seeing progress in this area? And what does progress look like?
Well, Carolina, it can never be fast enough for me. I want everything to move faster. And I share the frustration when things are moving too slowly. But I am encouraged that we're starting to see progress when it comes to some of these IRA-funded drought relief programs and initiatives. I saw the Bureau of Reclamation announced and started working on a number of initiatives through the West. I saw that the Department of Interior announced some drought mitigation funding opportunities for the Colorado River that we just discussed. We have to do, again, all we can for conservation, water efficiency, and we have to prevent the Deadpool scenario, which no one wants to see. I recently also, another great project locally was in Encinitas at the Olevenhein Water District, where they had a ribbon cutting of a 1.4-mile pipeline for recycled water. They were able to get about $17, $18 million from the bipartisan infrastructure law. And that bill, one of the exciting things about that bill, the bipartisan infrastructure law, is it has a $1 billion recycled water investment, which is tenfold the biggest investment that the federal government has ever given with regard to recycled water. We've got in San Diego County and in Orange County, the biggest recycled water projects. We're innovators on this. We need to continue to be in the years ahead. And I have encouraged all of our local stakeholders, our cities, our water districts, come together and put together, you know, great proposals for more recycled water projects, because the funding is available over these next few years. It's infrastructure law funding is over a 5-year span, and we're only really getting started in year two. So we've got a long way to go, and I'm excited to see more of these projects in our region.
For sure. We're excited to hear that we can start seeing some results. I feel like sometimes our communities feel a little disconnected from the decision making. So being able to see, like you talked about, the Olevenhein project and other projects that are here is very important. So we can show that in fact, results are happening. As you know, smart irrigation and efficient water management, which is what we do at Carlson's, has proven to be an efficient way to not only conserve water, but also to address labor shortages and to better deal with water restrictions, which are becoming more common. Do you see a future where the federal government could fund the installation of these systems in the communities that need them the most? And we're talking here about, we're getting into the environmental justice territory where some communities can afford the systems and some others. If you can talk a little bit about that.
Well, I do see that future, Carolina, and I think we're already seeing this type of investment in water conservation systems that can reduce waste and promote things like sustainable agriculture practices, all of which are really important as we have this ongoing drought and extreme weather. I think it's really incumbent on Congress to just keep working with stakeholders, working with the Bureau of Reclamation, working with the Department of Agriculture, supporting R&D, new technologies, the adoption of these technologies, other creative ideas, whether it's grants or loans or something else that could be available to help offset the costs of purchasing or installing water efficiency systems. But I think the bipartisan infrastructure law and the Inflation Reduction Act are both a model for potential water efficiency legislation, and we just have to keep at it. I am frustrated right now. As we're recording this, Carolina, we're in the middle of a discussion around the debt limit, and there are too many in Washington that would undo the progress on water and the environment that was made particularly by the Inflation Reduction Act in the giving a false narrative that it would save enough money to make a large difference in our overall financial picture. I am a Democrat, but I'm also a Democrat that's very mindful of the national debt and of deficits. And the way to solve those challenges is not to gut the clean energy or sustainable water tax credits and grants and programs. And so I'm going to hold the line as best I can to make sure that all the progress that we've made in these two landmark bills, the bipartisan infrastructure law and the Inflation Reduction Act, are not undermined. And that the debt limit is not used as a means towards that end.
So what other pieces of legislation are you currently working on when it comes to sustainable energy and water issues?
Well, we've got the Farm Bill coming up. I'm not on the Ag Committee, but every 5 years we reauthorize United States Department of Agriculture and other related programs. And that's an important piece of legislation. I think we hopefully can have a positive impact on that. But there are a number of others that I think I'll mention. There's one called the Clean Energy Transmission and Acceleration Act. So your listeners may have heard about this notion of permitting reform, meaning that we passed all these tax policies in the Inflation Reduction Act. We need to dramatically accelerate the rate of renewable energy production across the United States to hit our greenhouse gas reduction goals. But we need to streamline, modernize the permitting process in order to really unlock the greatest potential from the Inflation Reduction Act. There are statistics that I like to cite. I don't like the statistics, but I like to cite them, that there are 1,280 gigawatts worth of utility scale renewable projects, solar, wind, storage, stuck in interconnection queues across the United States. If we're going to hit our greenhouse gas reduction targets, we've got to dramatically increase the rate with which these projects get built. That is not to say that we need to undermine the bedrock environmental laws like NEPA that passed, by the way, in 1969, NEPA passed by 372 to 15. It was a broad bipartisan vote back in 1969, signed into law by President Nixon. Only in very recent years have water, energy, environmental issues become so partisan or so polarized. I'd like to think we can find common ground and we can focus on building the clean energy future that we need and not just double down on the dirty energy policies of the past. So that's what our bill will do. We are working on a stakeholder engagement process to get as many people on board as possible with that.
Well, these all sound great for sure. Congressman Levin, thank you for being a guest on our podcast. And we look forward to seeing you again in the near future.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
That was U.S. Congressman Mike Levin, who represents District 49 in California. Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you'd like to listen to other episodes, visit kelsons.com/podcast or search for H2Omics on your favorite podcast platform. Until next time, I'm Carolina Alban Stoughton.